Good morning. I'm going to ask that you turn with me to 2 Chronicles, chapter 15 to start off with. And then after reading one verse, we'll go to 2 Chronicles chapter 17. So 2 Chronicles chapter 15. And I'll get set up myself. By the way, any announcements, we will have a Wednesday night Bible study. And that's okay. And pray for Ray as he's preaching at Branford today. I'm turning to 2 Chronicles. I'm going to begin a series on King Jehoshaphat. And I'm going to, if you title anything, it would be King Jehoshaphat, an overview. Today will be an overview of why would we study a person like King Jehoshaphat. I'm going to read four different verses. It's not in your turning yet, but 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 24 reads this way. And Asa slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David, his father. And Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his stead. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 31 through 33. And Jehoshaphat reigned over Judah. He was 35 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 25 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Azubah, and the daughter of Shilai. And he walked in the way of Asa his father, and departed not from it, doing that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Howbeit, that the high places were not taken away, for as yet the people had not prepared their hearts unto God of their fathers. Let's ask God to bless the reading of his word. Father, we approach your throne, and we are thankful. We're thankful that we can open up Scripture, and we would ask that you would show us the Lord Jesus Christ through the Scriptures. Show us you, Father, the love that you have for each and every one of us, for you truly are our Father, as we sung this morning, Abba Father. So guide our hearts, open it up so that we be not only hearers but doers as it's been prayed earlier. And may all glory and all honor be yours. We thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I always have an outline that would be a story. Confessions of a Bench Coach. And then the third part of the message will be, why study Jehoshaphat? And then the fourth, King Jehoshaphat was a type of Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Asa is the next section. Asa, King of Judah. And that's going to be in 1 Kings 15, 9 through 16. Then we'll have a conclusion. Lord willing, we can get through all of this. But then we start with the story. And it has to do with confessions of a bench coach. It had been a long day and a long week. The kind of day when all he wanted to do was go home and collapse in his recliner and maybe get the remote and turn on the TV. An earlier glance at his schedule, though, told him that wasn't going to happen. Not tonight, anyways. Tonight, he would be in a small, stuffy, elementary gymnasium. Noise would bounce off the wall in each and every wall, and a group of overexcited six-year-old boys would be holding him responsible for happiness. Keith looked at the disorderly piles on his desk and let out a sigh. Opening his briefcase, he began to pack up his work for the day. It was time for him to take off his tie and put on his tennis shoes. It was time for him to become Hayden's dad and the bench coach for the Rockets basketball team. the primary job description of a bench coach of this rowdy group was to maintain some semblance of order, to monitor the playing time of each and every boy. Herein lay the problem. They didn't want order, and they weren't interested in being monitored. One or two of the boys were so bold as to roll their eyes and let out a not-so-quiet groan when Keith pulled them out of the game to take a turn on the bench. Keith said, "I don't need this stress." He thought it, and he smiled to himself. Finally, it was Matthew's turn to sit out. Matthew had been a problem all season. He didn't pay attention. He disobeyed directions like he had never even heard them. On more than one occasion, he had looked right at Keith or the head coach and totally discounted their instructions. He never said much. He just did his own thing. Tonight was different. Tonight, Matthew talked. Matthew said, "That's really not my dad." Looking at the direction of a man who brought him to the game, "He's really my granddad. My dad is in jail because he did some really bad things." As Keith listened to this unprovoked admission, it hit him. No, he didn't need this stress, but maybe Matthew needed him. Suddenly, the job description of a bench coach changed. Beloved, when I found that particular story, I remember a time when I was a bench coach, and a young lad came to me, and he was all distressed, and he said, "Can I talk to you, coach?" And he pulled me aside in a quiet corner, and he said, my younger brother had just died. What do you do? With all the rowdiness of the kids, you stop and you say, take a moment, take a time, and work out the situation to try to give comfort or peace to a 12-year-old boy, not a 6-year-old what Keith had to deal with. That's why I asked Marty to sing that song, "Lead Me to Calvary." King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow, lead me to Calvary. The question is this. Is there someone in your life who needs you? And then the second question is, how available are you? This is what we're going to see through the life of King Jehoshaphat. If I go to 2 Chronicles chapter 15, we will see that verses 1 through 9, there's a whole discussion where Asa, the father of Jehoshaphat, he had a reforming spirit. Actually, it says in verse 12, "And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul." You see, Asa had a reforming spirit in seeking the Lord God. Jehoshaphat had godly parents and a good heritage. Even though he had a good family, not all the time does that work out. If we look at that, we see that Asa, king of Judah, had a reforming spirit. That's so important. And the reason is, if you looked at Israel at the time, the 12 tribes of Israel had split. There were 10 tribes with Israel and 2 tribes with Judah, Judah and Benjamin. And a few of the people with the other tribes crossed over to be with Judah and Benjamin. And there was a need. And if you looked at the history of the 12 tribes, the 10 tribes of Israel did not have one good king. If you looked at the 2 tribes of Judah, they had about 50% good kings. One of them, well, actually two of them, Asa and Jehoshaphat, are just two of the 50%. The practical application right at the beginning of this is this. It's in Mark chapter 12, verse 30. Because you remember what we read in 2 Chronicles 15, 12, it says, "And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul." Mark chapter 12, 30 says this, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." Looking for godly spiritual fathers and mothers is what we're looking for when we study people like King Jehoshaphat. Can you consider yourself a godly father? A godly spiritual father for children? A godly mother? A godly parent? Maybe they're not your children, but are you there for others, meeting the need for other people? I'm going to go now to 2 Chronicles chapter 17. Remember, this is an overview of King Jehoshaphat. It's got to do with also the father Asa. The second practical lesson in all this, you see, Jehoshaphat sought the Lord. By the way, the word Lord there, it's all capitals. And I hold to the fact that all capitals is Jehovah. When you study the King James Version and you look up in the Hebrew, they're very consistent in the King James and bringing out Jehovah. The Jehovah also is a Yahweh. Yahweh, the Redeemer of the Lord, and it's a point to the Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Chronicles 17 and verse 3, Jehoshaphat sought the Lord. It says this, "And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the ways of his father David and sought not unto Balaam." You see, the practical lesson is this: seek the Lord. Meditate on Scripture. We have to seek the Lord. No one seeks the Lord, by the way, until the Lord first sought them. It says that in Romans. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7 says, "Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." Psalm 1 verse 2 says, But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Beloved, the closer you get to Scripture, you're getting closer to the heart of God, because God is revealing himself to you and to I as he opens up, as you meditate. Listen to what he's saying to you. As you dig deep into it, as you meditate, take and start studying it, and you will find he is revealing his heart to you. If you looked at 2 Chronicles 17, verse 6, it says this, "And his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he took away the high places and groves of Judah." You see, Jehoshaphat's faith in God delighted his ways in the Lord. So whatever the Lord showed him, he would actually be obedient. He surrendered to the Lord. So what's the practical lesson here, beloved? Practical lesson is clean your junk drawers. What does that mean? Remove ungodly habits from your life. The more you can take and put aside those ungodly habits, the closer you're going to get to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the ungodly habits is basically sin. And if you can't capture your thoughts, your words, or your actions, you're breaking fellowship with God. You'll never break your relationship with him. Once you're his for life, eternally. But don't lose that fellowship. It's sweet. It's a sweet fellowship. Ephesians 4, 22 through 24 says this, that ye put off concerning the former conversations the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That's the challenge that we have daily, telling no to our old nature and saying yes to our new nature. Being in the middle of that, being renewed in the spirit of our mind. Jehoshaphat was that kind of person. You know, it's interesting with people like Jehoshaphat, they did not have what we have. He did not have the Holy Spirit living in him. It would come upon him. You and I, beloved, have the Holy Spirit literally living in us. What a privilege we are. But don't take the Holy Spirit for granted. If you looked at verses 7 through 9, specifically 9, we have another practical lesson. It says, and they brought in Judah and had the book of the law of the Lord with them and went through about throughout all the cities of Judah and taught the people. Another practical lesson. You see, Jehoshaphat sent teachers to the people to teach them more about God and the law of God. You take Asa. Asa is dad, Jehoshaphat's dad. But prior to that, those kings were evil. They had gotten away. They had put up false idols all around the groves, and they worshiped false gods. They followed the kings of Israel, who had no good king, none that sought God. And so the people had gotten away from the teachings of the law of Moses, the five books of Moses, the Pentateuch. And so what did Jehoshaphat do? But he sent out teachers to show them the ways of God. You know, it's interesting that Jehoshaphat had to learn that himself. And he learned it through watching his father, his parents, godly parents. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. It says, go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So the question, are you part of the Great Commission? When people see you, do they see one who loves Jesus Christ? One who on their mouth shows the principles of God's laws and ways? Are we obedient in our actions? Do we capture even our thoughts? You see, Judah and Benjamin, that little group, had to relearn the laws of Moses, the laws that would please the Almighty God in heaven. Jehoshaphat would make sure that this, as a king, he would take that into practice and do it. So he sent out teachers. 2 Chronicles chapter 19. Again, why do we study Jehoshaphat? And you will see in 2 Chronicles 19, in verses 4 through 11, Jehoshaphat had a high regard for justice in his dealings. See, that's one thing you will learn as you study and get closer and closer to God. When you see things that Christians do that are wayward, it bothers you. I have a hard time watching. I used to love watching the Ten Commandments. I used to really love that until I studied Scripture. And then they just take too many liberties. I watched just recently Sight and Sounds on Moses. It was very good. Except I don't think Aaron was the way they portrayed him. when I look and see the scriptures. So it's hard for me to watch things like that, because if you start to study God and God's ways, then you have to examine your own heart and change your ways and see things differently. In verse 9 of 2 Chronicles 19, about justice and his dealings, Jehoshaphat's justice, and he charged them, saying, "Thus shall ye do in the fear of the Lord, faithfully, with a perfect heart." And in verse 11b, it says, "Deal courageously, and the Lord shall be with the good." You know, that's our goal as Christians, beloved, that we have to be people of justice, God's justice, and we have to be people that present Jesus Christ as good. Show the ways of Jesus Christ. Practical application is in Matthew chapter 25, verse 21. "His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Now I'm going to take you to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Why don't you turn with me to there? There's five things for our heart there. Five different practical things for our heart. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And if you read that, I'm not going to take the time to read that, because we'll be going through that in detail later on in this series. But if you look at verse 12, Jehoshaphat set his focus on the Lord. It says, "O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee." You see, Sennacherib and the tribe of the enemies was like 180,000 that were ready to destroy Judah and Benjamin. And beloved, the practical thing here is this. We must have a focused heart, focused on him. When you go through times of trials and tribulations, don't look at the trials and tribulations. Look at God. And then follow the principles. There's one, two, three, four, five different responsibilities of the heart when you're going through these things. In verse 17, Jehoshaphat surrendered to the Lord. It says, "Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." What's the practical application? Surrender to God. You see, you focus on him, but now surrender to him. Give the battle to God. Don't fight it yourself. You'll lose. But when you surrender, you know, there's a difference between being submission and surrendering. Submission is being obedient to the word of God. Surrendering is giving God control. Do you give God control when you go through trials and tribulations? The next one is in verse 18. You see, Jehoshaphat worshiped the Lord. It's interesting that Jehoshaphat and Judah and Benjamin had no weapons. And you got 180,000, if that's the right number, I got to look it up again. But all those people that are ready to fight against them, they have no weapons. What's their weapon? Is God himself. Jehoshaphat worshiped the Lord. It says this, "And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord." Worshiping the Lord. What's the practicality? Beloved, have a heart of reverence. Have a heart of reverence. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 11:29, that he was meek and lowly of heart, meek and lowly of heart. The next one you'll find in verse 21. Jehoshaphat praised the Lord. It says this, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. See, they not only had a focused heart, they had a heart that surrendered. They had a heart that was referencing the Lord, but now they have a heart that's praising God. You know, when you go through a trial or tribulation, praise him. Praise him. He is obviously building something in you, for you, so that you can show the beauty of the Lord through you. The next one is this. It's in verse 26. Jehoshaphat blessed or thanked the Lord. It says, and on the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Barak, and there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of the place was called the Valley of Barak unto this day. Beloved, throughout Scripture, if you look and if you could put a line on this and look at the different pages of the Bible, you will see that God is looking for a heart of thanksgiving. Do we thank God for all that is before us? These are some of the reasons why we would study a person like King Jehoshaphat. He's a type of Christ, but there's a warning. The warning comes in 2 Chronicles chapter 18. And says this in verse 1. Now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance, enjoyed affinity with Ahab. You know who Ahab is? Ahab is a king of Israel. His wife was Jezebel. They worshiped Balaam. And Jehoshaphat, this is the warning, he teamed up with Ahab. Be careful, beloved, on whom you team up with. Even some Christians that are wayward, be careful. Because if they're teamed up with someone else that's not walking in the ways of God, it may deter you from worshiping, surrendering, having a reverence, focusing on God. Also, it says in 2 Chronicles 21:3-6, Jehoshaphat's firstborn, Jeroboam, became king of Judah. Once Jehoshaphat left his son, in verse 6 of 2 Chronicles 21, and he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, because Ahab teamed up with Jehoshaphat, his son. Jehoshaphat's son saw the teaming up, and he followed the ways of the kings of Israel. There's a warning here. There's a warning. You know, when you study things like kings like Jehoshaphat, and you see that he is a type of Christ, because everything that we've, before the warnings, you look for the ways that Christ would walk, and then you look at the ways that the kings that you're looking at are not a type of Christ. And this is where he was not a type of Christ. The warnings, be careful, because when you team up with other people that are wayward, this is what happens. It interferes everything that you bring up, and it can bring the person in a waywardness, and that's not what your testimony is all about. If you looked at Jehoshaphat, there are six different Jehoshaphats in the Bible. 2 Samuel 8:16, Jehoshaphat is an official under David's and under Solomon. That was an official for them. In 1 Kings 4 and 3, Jehoshaphat, the son of Ahilud, is a recorder. He's a scribe. In 1 Kings 4, 17, Jehoshaphat, the son of Paru. That's not this Jehoshaphat. This Jehoshaphat is in 1 Kings 15, 24, the son of Asa. And then 2 Kings 9, 14, Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, conspired against Joram. Again, a waywardness. In 1 Chronicles 15, 24, Jehoshaphat, one of seven who helped move the Ark of the Covenant. So when you're studying, you got to find out which one you're dealing with. And so don't think they're all. By the way, Jehoshaphat means the Lord is judge. Asa means healer. Azubah means forsaken. It's interesting on these names because it tells a story. Now we get into the fourth part of the message. Again, we're doing an overview. King Jehoshaphat was a type of Christ. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We know this because faith has told us this. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 16 says that. And it's all capitals, which wasn't necessarily in the original Greek, but or Latin or Arabic. But it was when the translators put it in, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jehoshaphat is a righteous king. He followed Asa, his father. Jesus also did what pleased the Father. John chapter 8, verse 29b says, I always do those things that please him. They are one. They have one will. They have one way. They have one thought. They are one God. Jehoshaphat removed idols. Asa didn't remove them, not all of them. So that was Jehoshaphat's job. He would remove. You look at Jesus. Jesus had no sin, none. He couldn't sin. Then you also see he had leaders teach God's law. Jehoshaphat had leaders teach God's law. Jesus is Adonai, the master teacher. He said that he would send another comforter in John chapter 15. And that comforter would be the Spirit of Truth. And the Spirit of Truth would teach us all things that Jesus said. So the practical lesson, spiritual leadership. Spiritual leadership comes down, and here's your practical lesson in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. It says, elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Verse 2. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of ready mind. You know, when you look at that, I guess people think right away, well, elders of a church. Go beyond that. Think about a spiritual father, a spiritual mother. Think about parents that are godly parents. And when it says feed the flock, you see that word feed? When you break that word down, that means tend to the flock. You know, when it says feed the flock, it means to give them nourishment from all different types of food. With the shepherd, with the sheep, they would take the valley grass and the mountain grass, and the halfway up the mountain grass, and they're all different types of food. But there's all kinds of danger in every place they went. And the shepherd, tend to the flock. Watch as a shepherd, as a godly parent, watch the children. Well, what if I don't have children? Well, people still look at you. Once you say that you are a Christian and you take on the name Christ in that word, then people are watching you. It seems like the world knows the Bible sometimes better than we do, because they would say things like, if you grunted, they'll say, should a Christian do that? Say that? Be that way? They'll tell you. So be careful. You are a spiritual leader. Just in the fact that you take on, you're an ambassador, and you're in the ministry of reconciliation, it says in Corinthians, for Jesus Christ. Feed the flock. Parents are spiritual leaders. You know, you go all the way back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, 4 through 9, but verse 7 says this. This is what God wanted his people to do. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. What did God want from his godly parents? Constantly talking about him, talking about his ways, his thoughts. And his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, it says in Isaiah 55. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4 says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And then if you want to get down to moms or spiritual ladies in churches, go to Proverbs 31 and you will see the virtuous woman and what to do. Proverbs 22 and 6, training up a child. Some people say that's just a thought. I never looked at it that way. I personally, and it's personal, took it as a promise. Train up a child in the way they shall go, and they will not depart from it. I took that as a promise. Do you take it as just an order that God has placed out? Or is it a promise to you? That's something you have to work out. Another thing is Jesus sought God's will. This is what Jehoshaphat did. In John 8:29b, I've already said this, Jesus said, for I do always those things that please him. In John chapter 6 and verse 38, Jesus said, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. King Jehoshaphat sought God's will. 2 Chronicles 17, verse 3. And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat, we read this, because he walked in the ways of his father David. I thought his father was Asa, but it says his father David. They do this in Scripture, by the way. Remember Father Abraham? Well, that was David's father, too. And he's the father of Jacob, Israel. I mean, he's the father of Isaac. You go all the way to Abraham. But he followed in the ways of David. What was David's, why did he say that? And what do you know about David? Now, I know immediately what you're going to think of, right? Oh, he sinned. He was bad. Stop that. Take that out of your head. He repented on that. We read it in Psalm 51 this morning. What was something that God said about David? It's in Acts 13, verse 22. He was a man after God's own heart. You see, Jehoshaphat was a man after David. That means he was a man after God's own heart. Connect it. See the beauty of it. The practical lesson is this. Know God's will. Know God's will. Colossians 3:17. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Do it all for him. It's his honor. It's his glory. Romans 12 and 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable will of God. Do Do you know what God's will is for you in your life? It changes, by the way, when you get older. Where you had all this energy to do Bible studies in your own home, you don't do that anymore. At least I don't. What do I do? What was the change? The change bothered me because I couldn't do it anymore. I didn't have the energy anymore. So God, what is your will? He says, write. Just write. Send it out. King Jehoshaphat, again, was a type of Christ. Here it is. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. Hebrews chapter 2. Chapter 12, verse 2. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I always get a kick out of that. For the joy that was set before him. What's his joy? You and I, beloved, we're his joy. King Jehoshaphat was a king of faith. 2 Chronicles 19, verses 4 through 11, keying in on verse 9. And he charged them, saying, thus shall ye do in the fear of the Lord faithfully and with a perfect heart. You know, see, when we do this faithfully with a perfect heart, it doesn't mean you're afraid of God. It's a reverence to God because you revere him. And faithfully with a perfect heart. Remember, David was his father. David was also the father of Asa. And Asa was his biological father, Jehoshaphat's biological father. 2 Chronicles 19:11b, it says, deal courageously with the Lord, and the Lord shall be with the good. You can't go wrong when you do that. Practical lesson is, we must be men and women of faith. We must be. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Again, Jesus Christ is the captain of our salvation. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Jehoshaphat was that type of captain. In John chapter 10, verse 16 through 18, we talked about that a little bit this morning. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment I have received from my Father. You see, Jehoshaphat became a deliverer through the power of God. Now, we already covered this. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 12. Jehoshaphat had his focus on the Lord. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 17, Jehoshaphat surrendered to the Lord. In verse 18 of the same chapter, Jehoshaphat worshiped the Lord. In verse 21, Jehoshaphat praised the Lord. In verse 26, Jehoshaphat blessed or thanked the Lord. Practical lesson is this. We are ambassadors for Christ with the ministry of reconciliation. Have you ever stopped and think about what an ambassador is? We represent our Lord Jesus Christ every moment of our time, every moment. Our thoughts, our words, our actions. You remember Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7? When thou liest down, when they walk, when you eat, whenever it is, it's the Lord. It's all about God. Our life is all about God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 through 21. Again, we're ambassadors. We have the ministry of reconciliation. It says this, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, but hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be righteousness of God in him. Jehoshaphat represented and it was the type of Christ. I'm going to go, because of time, I'm not even going to go to 1 Kings 15, 9 through 16, which we have to study Asa a little bit before we get into Jehoshaphat. That was an overview. So let's give a conclusion to a point. The conclusion is this. Remember that coach, the bench coach? He didn't need that stress. You know, sometimes we'll get up and we don't need that stress. And then we find that someone needs us. Someone could use a word of encouragement. Someone who is down and out could use a little lift me up. Are we available to do that for people? You know, that's why we sung this morning, Lead Me to Calvary. King of my life, I crown thee now. Then the question comes, is he my king? Is my heart after his heart? These are questions. David also wrote something like, examine my heart, O Lord, examine my heart. King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow, lead me to Calvary. May I be willing, Lord, to bear daily my cross for thee, even thy cup of grief to share. Thou hast borne all for me. You think he might have been under some stress on the cross of Calvary? You see, the question is Jesus Christ the king of your life? Do you have a heart after God's own heart? Are you willing to know the will of God and then do it? And so the life's five challenges are these simple challenges that we found in 2 Chronicles 20. Set your focus on the Lord. Surrender to the Lord. Worship the Lord. You see, in Romans 12, 1, it says, that is your reasonable worship or service. That word service is same as worship. The fourth one was praise the Lord. And you praise the Lord in good times and in bad times. Because when under the Lord, there's really no bad time. He's good all the time. The reason you go through trials and tribulations is because there's something that God is molding in us. He is the potter, we are the clay. And he's working us to get the bubbles out, to make us a perfect vessel for him. Last one, bless the Lord. make this year and every future year a year of thanking God daily. We should be thankful people because we have a home that's in the glories of heaven. He is in our heart. We are in His heart. We should, on that alone, be thankful people. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for the opportunity to maybe just get a glimpse of a guy named Jehoshaphat. But more so, may we get to see the truth of who you are, Father. You showed us the visible God by bringing Jesus Christ to earth, walked His ways, did His thing, said His words. Help us to do the same. For every time we take on the name Christian, we're making a testimony before the world, before brothers and sisters, before the lost. Help us to honor you with all our thoughts, words, and deeds. Help us to be a type of Christ. Thank you, Father. May you bless each and every one that either Zooms in, Facebooks in, or here present. Keep us all in the palm of your hand. We love you. We thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.